Okay, I just wrote for Isabel. It is a joy to be Omi to two young people like Isabel and Owen. Today is extra special as Isabel has asked to be baptized.
You know what I'm going to do? Can I hold it for you?
Oh, yeah.
Because people, they want to hear you. And I want to hear you. So.
Isabel is a free spirit and an old soul all in one. I believe she was filled with faith before knowing anything about God. She has the capacity to hone in on people's feelings and really care about whether they're hurting, yet she's always full of joy and shares it easily. The other night, I found this journal and a few words that I jotted down when I saw her as a tiny baby. Now, I'm not a poet. This is what I wrote. Isabel, you should have yellow petals surrounding your face.
Where are you?
Round, beaming, loving, you are a sunflower that squeals with delight. You have tiny spud feet with tiny sausage toes. You are love, you are pure. Well, time has passed since then, and today is your baptism. This is a step of obedience, a leap of faith, and a beginning of a walk with the Lord that will last forever. You are a special gift of God, and I'm so proud of you, as I'm sure all of your friends and family are too. And as you live for God, I pray that he will bless you with the strength to always do what you know is right, to be true, to not change for anyone, and that he will bring you the same peace and happiness that I know you will bring to each person you meet as you make your way into the world.
Wow.
So that's what I pray for you, Isabel. Kira, my daughter. Finding this book, I saw this little prayer you said as a little girl, 4 years old. Thank you, God, for the skin I'm in, for it holds me all together. That kind of sums you up. You're always a girl of faith, of humor. You grew into a young woman of integrity, incredible honesty. You endured such a lot of bullying in school, and even though that pain just changed you only saw that and felt that, and yet I saw a woman that developed into this strong Christian that just faced each challenge without wavering. Marriage, motherhood, death of parents. I mean, no, I'm still here.
Would you like to be more specific here?
We're still here. Sorry, grandparents. But your strength has helped me. We've always been so close. I love you so much. I'm just going to end that. I just wish you a new beginning of faith, a renewed zeal for your faith, just so much happiness and healing. And God's got you. When you're hurt, keep your eyes on the Lord, not on the hurt. He's got you, Kira.
Amen.
He will deal with your problems. You don't have to. Just always remember that. And I just love you so much. I love you all so much. That's
Thank
it.
You. Wow. Fantastic. Thank you so much. I'm wondering if there's anybody else, maybe even a... I was thinking you... It's funny. It was like the Lord said, you know, Chris Visser, I think, was pretty key and is key as your life group leader, and I know loves you guys, so I think it's worth it.
When you called to tell me that they were going to get baptized, it was pretty cool. I was pretty excited. Kira and Isabel, it's been awesome growing with you guys, with your life group that we have. There's some of the people that are here as well. It's been incredible watching your faith grow and how life connects. Just a verse that I know I would like to share with you is Philippians 1:6. For I am confident in this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus.
Amen.
I get the pleasure of teaching you in Kids Zone and then growing with you in Life Group. And it's awesome. I'm so happy for you guys, and there's nothing but great things coming. just prayer.
Yeah, thank you.
Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you for this, for bringing Kira and Isabel into our lives and all the blessings they brought with us or with them. God, we ask that you bless them, bless them in their life moving forward, bless them with all their experiences, and protect them from all the things that can come, and honor this step of obedience that they're taking in baptizing and publicly professing their faith for you. And may they remember this in the time of their struggles and confrontations, that you're there with them and that you can help them through anything. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. Let's head over here then, guys. Okay. Why don't you mention that? Do you want to mention that? And then we'll invite family and friends over here, so go ahead. Yeah?
Oh, I just wanted to mention that Roger is here, Kira's dad, right there with Christine and Owen and Isabel's granddad.
Yes.
Stand up, Roger.
So come on, family and friends, this is the time where you're welcome to come on over and maybe stand over here.
Daddy.
Be careful of the wires, but it's so nice coming out of the water and finding family and friends supportive right there. And if otherwise you guys want to come and surround where, even from where you are, that's fine. Because you've heard their testimony, there's not really much more to say in the tank area. And I'm also a little mindful of a mic in front of a speaker and a mic in the water. So I am going to baptize these two. And when they come up out of the water, what's your job? Do you remember? Celebrative clapping and going crazy, whooping it up, right? So have you guys, like, decided who's going to go first? Okay. All right. How am I doing here, Al? Is it not bad? We're doing good? Okay. I've been, so I don't need to go in the water, Kira. Here, I'll get you. Okay. Yes, you broke the ice before, so welcome. Come on in. Yeah. No, sorry, and we didn't put the jets in this week either. It's not heated up, and it's no jets. That's funny. Yeah, that's perfect. So you're just going to sit. So as you see your mom doing this, do that. And now I'm just going to tilt you back, okay? All right. All right, Kira, here we are, eh? Yeah, that's perfect. That's fine. Because you have confessed and exclaimed this morning in your testimony that you've trusted Christ Jesus as your Lord, your Savior, your forgiver, your friend, I count it a privilege as your pastor and friend to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Nice. Okay. Now, do you have your towel? There we go. I have towels right there. Oh, yeah, that's what they're for. Yeah. So if you want to wait right here, you can't stand in there while she's going in. But if you want to wait right here, you can see your daughter get baptized. That'd be perfect. Now it's your turn. It's high, isn't it? It's like, but you're tall. Yeah. How old are you, Isabel? 10? Okay, that's fine. All right, hi. Same thing, because you, just moments ago, said to us, oh, yeah, I place my faith in Jesus Christ to forgive me, to be loved by him, to follow him forever. He's my Savior. He's my best friend. All those things. I'm able to baptize you this morning. So as your pastor and as your friend, I count it a privilege to do that in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There you go. Nice. Fantastic. Thanks, family, for being there. And so, girls, if you want to dry off following that pathway that we talked about earlier, and be careful when you get into the cafeteria. It's a little slippery, right? So go slow. And when you're done, come on back and clean this up if you could. That's ridiculous. Wow. People. All right. Thanks, guys. You can be seated. Perfect. Anybody have a towel? Can I borrow your shirt? Okay. That's a no, apparently. Okay. All right. Wow. All right. So that's the first type of story we're going to tell this morning, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about what we think about that as a community of faith and why we sort of practice it the way we do and believe what we do, just so you're clear. At Crossroads, we believe that baptism is strictly and simply a command of the Scriptures for people to be baptized who are followers of Jesus and to also baptize others. Really clearly said in the last thing that Jesus says to his disciples, which is, and I'm reading from the Message this morning, this: go out and train everyone you meet, said Jesus to his disciples, far and near, like all over the place, in this way of life, which is to follow him, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that is why you would have heard me say that for both of them. Then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you. At Crossroads, we believe that baptism is for those who believe in Jesus Christ, who, as Isabel put it, believe that Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins. Receiving this forgiveness restores our relationship with our Creator, which we needed. As Josh had said, even leading worship this morning, introducing that song, he taught us not his fault we're in the situation we're in, but our choosing, but his graciousness to forgive us. But being forgiven isn't all that it is. There's more, if you can believe it. We also believe, though following Jesus begins here and now, following him takes us from death to life, just as Jesus rose from death to life, which we remember and celebrate at Easter. And that following him from death to life, we would live with him forever. The Apostle Paul talks about this, actually, this very thing, in a letter he written to the church at Rome. And in Romans chapter 6, again, reading from the Message, verses 3, 4, 6, and 7. This is what he said to the church then. This is what baptism into the life of Jesus means. When we are lowered into the water, it is like the burial of Jesus. When we are raised up out of the water, it is like the resurrection of Jesus. Could it be any clearer? Our old way of life was nailed to the cross with Christ, a decisive end to that sin-miserable life. No longer at sin's every beck and call. What we believe is this, so says Paul. If we get included in Christ's sin-conquering death, we also get included in his life-saving resurrection. Can I get an amen? All right. At Crossroads, we believe that a person can be baptized anytime after they have committed their life to following Jesus Christ. After they, as Kira said, believe and act on that belief that a with God life is better than a without God life. Now, this is where it can be tricky. We can wonder, what can a child know, really understand about following Jesus at such a young age, even as young as 10 years old? Or we might wonder, shouldn't there be a season for people to prove their faith with some kind of supporting action so that, you know, we would guard against hypocrisy? And those are fair and reasonable questions, to be truthful. At Crossroads, we believe that the Spirit of God can actually equally speak to children, youth, and adults alike when they want to listen to him. Some of us believe, and I would be one of them, that kids actually hear the Spirit of God easier. So we trust that the Spirit can move in our kids as much as anyone else, and that our kids can respond to the Spirit to the best of their understanding at the time. In the end, I think you would agree with me, we don't want to stand in the way of what the Spirit might be up to by saying such things as, you're too young, you can't really listen to, you don't understand enough. Because that's a journey. At Crossroads Community Church, we also believe that there doesn't need to be some kind of spiritual probation before someone chooses to be baptized. We think this way for a couple of reasons, actually. The first of which is really basic, because it just simply isn't the pattern of the scriptures to make people wait to be baptized. The pattern, conversely, is really simple. It is believe, be baptized. Not believe, wait, prove, mature, take a discipleship course, maybe in a couple of years, do some ministry, then, oh, get baptized. It doesn't work that way. That's not the pattern we see in scriptures at all. The second reason is this. Because a required spiritual probation seems to suggest that we, the church, have an expectation that people who say they follow Jesus will show it. And if we're being honest, that we would live perfect lives to prove it. Because if we don't, we would question whether or not those dear folks were ever saved in the first place. All of this, of course, is rubbish. We all make mistakes. Kids, teenagers, adults. Our expectation of each other should not be perfection, but what you said, obedience. Obedience to the teachings of Jesus. Principal among them being what Isabel said, that we are loved. Start there and end there, and track in the beginning and middle there, and forgiven, so that we can do what Isabel said, love and forgive each other and others. In truth, we will not be perfect in this lifetime, but we are forgiven, and we are promised, as Chris read from Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, that God will keep working on us. Finally, at Crossroads Community Church, we practice baptism by immersion, which is what we did here just moments ago, for a couple of reasons as well. Like Paul said earlier in the scripture that we read, it just seems to best represent physically the spiritual realities of our identification with Christ. And then secondly, and I think this is what persuades me as much as anything, the Greek word, so we know that the New Testament was written in Greek and then translated into several languages, including English. The Greek word for baptism is the New Testament. In the New Testament is the word baptizo, which literally means to immerse or to dip. Baptism is a part of our journey of faith. It's a part of the process of being drawn to God by His Spirit and us responding to that. Our decision to follow Christ and then to go public with our faith in baptism are signals of that new life. Where we go from there is up to how we continue to respond to the Spirit of God in our lives. Where we go from here is the second kind of story we tell as believers, our stories of spiritual growth. So at this time, I'd like to invite my friend up, Kevin Beagle, one of our worship leaders, in fact, to complete, or maybe not even complete, but share a little bit more of his story, which he began some time ago, maybe a month or two ago. But I'd asked him, if you want to get that mic there, Kev, that'd be perfect. But we had asked him at the time, because of time constraints, can we do this at another time? And he was gracious enough to say, for sure. Well, that time is now. Kevin believes, as do I, that prayer and testimony, he'd say this, prayer and testimony are keys to faith building. You maybe remember the first part of Kevin's story, actually, tracking with Jesus. He received a very decisive encouragement as, I think you were 12 years old, is that right? Sitting at the piano bench, was wondering what to do with music, and his teacher said to him, play for Jesus. Boom.
That was in university.
Mm-hmm. Really young to be in university, but, well, you know, some folks are really, like, quite clever.
24 so. Years old.
Yeah, that's right. You were four when you were at university. Doogie
24,
in the
24
house.
I said.
Okay, good. Very good. Okay. And then the second piece of your story was that bear attack on your uncle and your cousin, and your cousin was, I think, killed in that. And your uncle, though, survived it, though trying to save her, had this operating room experience where he visited heaven for a time. And that had a profound impact on you, too. Tell us a little bit more about the story, what that's led to, where you're at now, okay?
Okay.
Thanks, buddy.
Actually, this is part two.
Part two.
There are three parts.
Wow.
I was going through things, and honestly, I was just thinking, how can I condense this all? And yeah, there's going to be a part
movie.
From...
We'll do a movie.
A movie. Oh, maybe that'll come out one day. No. And just before I was leaving the house beautiful day. I put on my shoes, and Tanner says, "Dad, you're wearing your Jesus boots again."
Is that what those
I
are? Know.
I guess they are Jesus boots.
Wow.
Whatever.
Nice. You got some mileage.
I've had them. That's right, a lot of mileage. Okay, so yeah, as Rob was saying, the bear incident, that was huge impact on our family. Our family lived in Grand Prairie, Alberta, and this bear incident happened in Crooked Creek, and my whole family was impacted. And it was because my uncle visited heaven, and he came back to talk about it. He was resuscitated on the operating table. He died. He actually visited heaven, and he has a powerful story. He's not doing good right now, unfortunately. He's got cancer, and but he...
How old's your uncle?
He's about 64, 65.
Okay.
All right. So I got my Bachelor of Music in Edmonton and then my Bachelor of Education right afterwards. I went back to Grand Prairie and I needed a job. And so I let the Catholic School Board know that I was ready to teach. And the senior in Human Resources, he said, give me 24 hours. Anyways, and I just... Okay. The next day, I received a call from him, and he created a job for me.
Wow.
To teach in the Catholic school district. So I was jumping between three schools teaching music, and so that was a lot of fun. I was still going to the Catholic Church, and I had known this Catholic nun. Her name was Sister Aquina. She was probably about 50 at the time, but she was friends with the family. Anyways, I invited her into my classroom, and she would come into my classroom, and she'd go around, and she would just, you know, just kind of befriend the kids. And then she said, "Would you like prayer, kids?" And, oh, the kids, yeah, they wanted prayer. And so this is a grade 6 class, and I wasn't sure what was going to happen here, but she started praying for these kids, and they started falling down in the classroom under the power of God. And wow, it was something that I was just wowed by. Wow. And so she asked me to come out to these prayer meetings on Monday nights. And that's where I got a chance to just pray a little bit of, play praise and worship. And then she'd start to pray for these people, and people got healed as a result.
She's
and that
anointed,
was,
right? Yeah.
Yes, yes. Yeah. It was an awesome time. And that was really faith building for myself. I was doing the music within the Catholic Church, and this one Sunday morning, it was Easter Sunday, I can remember preparing for it, and I said, Lord, I just want to do this song that's been in my heart for a few weeks, and it's called He Loved Me First. Just an awesome song. Anyways,
it's a song you wrote, right?
No, it's not
a song I
wrote. No, it was one that I heard, I think, on the Christian radio station.
Okay.
Anyways, so I played it in the Catholic service. And what happened was I didn't think anything of it afterwards, but then I received this call right after church. Now, I was living on my own in a trailer, and this call, it went something like this. Hello? Hi. What was in that song you sang? Who is this? I say, click. and basically, this girl was, in a nutshell, she moved from Toronto to Grand Prairie. She changed her name. She was raped by her dad. And she just wanted to run and escape from God. And God led her to this church this Sunday morning.
Wow.
And so she changed her name, and she moved in with somebody that she knew out in Grand Prairie. Anyways, that was the start of about a 3 or 4 month telephone tag relationship in which she'd phone up. She would talk about the things that were in that song, and then I got to know her a little bit. It got really crazy, and that she'd start swearing at me, "There is no God. There cannot be a God." And click and bang, and I just fall to my knees, and I would say, "God, I need your help through this whole thing." Mm-hmm. Anyways, I'm capsulizing this really short. I was up to go visit her once. She didn't show up. She ended up in the hospital. So I hadn't seen her at all. And I phoned and eventually got through to her. What happened? I was in a car accident and my leg was broken. Okay. I took that to God and prayed through the whole thing. Eventually, she had to move back to Toronto with her stuff. She found out the gangrene set in her leg, and when she was in Toronto for just a couple of weeks, she actually passed away. And I found that out from her parents and the lady that she stayed with in Grand Prairie. I get this journal about a week late. It was probably about 2 weeks later. I get it in the mail, and this journal documents all our conversations. And she's crying out to God, and she is just, Lord, what is this life all about? And she's quoting verses. She's swearing at God. She's cursing me in these notes. And it was just, it's so blunt. And I'm just wowed by the whole experience. She gave her life to Christ before she passed away. And you know what? My life is about doing music. It's about reflecting Christ every day. You know, I teach in the Catholic school system here at Sarda Secondary. I'm not a perfect human being by any means. I fall. But I believe in a Savior who absolutely loves me and died for me. Amen. And is just infatuated with every part of my life. And so I give him every part of my life. Music is a powerful tool. I know it can reach kids, and that's why I love teaching music at Sarda Secondary. No, I don't worship in front of them. No, I don't, choose Christian songs. I used to be pretty bold in doing that, and kids would challenge me, "Hey, Beagle, you're not supposed to sing Christian songs in a public school," but we had fun doing that. Actually, kids came to know the Lord through experiences like that, but I traveled for 2 years. Oh, yeah, how's my time doing?
It's over. Would have been a good segue right there to see
okay. This. Yeah.
Because I forgot to mention it earlier. Some of you know this, most of you do, that the leader of this particular worship team and the girl beside him are my son and daughter, who took your course. Of course, Josh did. Guitar in grade 10, 11?
Yeah, grade 10, I think. And
just your faithfulness to being available to what God would have you do and love people like you're loved is witness enough without putting lyrics necessarily in front of those kids in that classroom. That's testimony of it right there. So thanks so much for doing that.
Thank you very much.
Do you want to say one last thing really quickly? I hate to cut you off, but
you know
we
what?
Are again... Yeah.
Okay. I went on 2 years across Canada. It was missionary work. And it was all because I started praying lots. It was June, this lady who came to know Christ. I started to pray lots because I had time. I come home after teaching in my trailer. I'd get down on my knees and just start praying. And God gave me a vision of Canada. And I was able to do missionary work right across Canada for 2 years. And that's when I met my beautiful wife, Angelie.
Oh,
and that's part three then.
Part three. Can you wait? I can't wait. Thank you. That's great. Thanks, Kev. We're going to do part three, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. And it's news to me that Sardis High School is a Catholic school, but that's good. I did not know that. I'm going to... invite our worship team back this morning to close our morning out. And while they do, I'll just pray for us. Would you stand with me as we do that?